Hey, look at that. It's recording now. So we're going to start off, give a little introduction to ourselves. Yes, we're Dan and Trina Short. Yes, we do have 10 kids. For those who weren't here a little bit earlier, the ages range from 17 to 10 months. We have 5 boys, 5 girls. People think we're crazy. Yes, we are. In our first session, we're going to talk about training and discipline. So if you don't know anybody about that, great, because we don't either. And we'll just kind of mumble through it as we go. People ask us, why 10? And God said, let me, him, choose how big your family is going to be. It all started, we went to a mission trip in Manila. We had 2 children at the time. We actually took the 2 there. It was over 5 weeks long, and our second child turned 1 while we were there. At that time, God said, I can take you halfway across the world. I can give you all the money it took for that in 3 months or less, and moving to a new town during that time. And other things that said, let's take control. So we gave him control. Now we have 10. We are officially done because God said, you're done. She had to have surgery. Don't have to go into details, but he actually said, you're done. So it gave us the answer that we've always wanted. We're done. Yes. No. Yes. Actually, the funny thing is our kids were very sad about the whole thing. When they heard that that had to be done, they wanted more. So if my kids, you know, people say, well, your kids must hate it because they're in a big family where they feel small. They love it. So I don't know why, because they're crazy. We don't claim to have all the answers. We're just happen to be down the road farther than most of you with a 17-year-old that does. And then we have 10 that keeps reminding us how not to do it or to do it the right way. So really, that's what it is. And we've had some great mentors in our life growing up, people who've put some time in us, and we've just kind of go to that. Now you're saying, well, you have 10 kids. We added it up. That's 93 years of parenting experience. So I guess somehow that makes us an expert. So it makes us feel better about that. And so we're definitely not perfect. So please don't put us in a pedestal. And our kids are not perfect. A lot of people believe that we have just nice, perfect kids. And somehow they just grow up to be perfect. And
they were born that way.
They were born that way. We actually wanted to do a video, but we had to cut that out because of time. And no, they're not. We don't genetically change our kids to be perfect. So they're not, okay?
If we did, we'd be millionaires because we'd be selling the rights to that right now.
We're trying because, you know, we can always use the money. So 10 kids, it gets expensive. Let me pray for us, and so we can kind of dive into this. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for this time and thank you for this opportunity and the people who want to be better parents, either right now or in the future as they become parents. And we just thank you for their open heart. And we just want to even pray for those people who might be listening later, that you would make their hearts just be joyful for their kids. In Jesus' name, amen. So since we have such a little time, we had to really condense what we do. But there's some things that we think are very important building blocks. Oh, and by the way, if you thought she was going to talk, she gets to talk all the time. And so she will be talking. She will be talking. The more important thing is your relationship with Christ, your personal relationship with Christ. is one of the building blocks. If that's not happening, being a parent's really hard to do. I won't let you talk in there.
Oh, okay, now it's my turn. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay, the next thing is your relationship with your spouse. If that's not right, then your parenting is going to be much harder.
Husband and wife roles. They need to be established in your house, and you need to be doing it. If you don't have any idea of that, you're not married yet, go to the iPod cast that Brad and Jen did a couple weeks ago. It's a good place to start. We have some life groups actually talk about getting your marriage better, too, and that will help also in that. Of course, discipline, one of the things we're going to talk about, and training.
And teaching your children the word. I'm just kidding. Discipline and training we're going to be talking about. The 6th thing is teaching your children the word of God, which Mary is doing a little thing on this morning too, but that's key. That needs to be part of your everyday life, the things that you do every day.
The last two things is your kids should know your expectation. If you're not teaching your kids your expectation, they're going to fail every time, and you're going to feel like a failure. So that's one of the things. And then the last thing is tying strings of fellowship. That's what's going to be in part two of our talk, and that deals with burnout too. If you are burning out of being a parent, or your kids are burned out of you, it's probably because of the tying strings of fellowship. So first thing, you have a handout. Should something look like this, laying the foundation? Just grab each one. So we're going to go quickly over this part. And so most of this you can do at home, that laying down the foundation. The Bible is the...
Inspired.
Talk in the mic.
Inspired.
Word of God. So when you go home, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. You know how I kind of put some emphasis on those words. I'm not going to go through all the verses. I'm going to go to number two. God
disciplines
those he loves. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11, great verse about that, about God disciplining the ones he loves. And so we also need to do that with our children. So please go home and read these. It's very important that you understand where God's coming from. God calls us to...
discipline our children.
And so Proverbs, and then the second page of that is the other verse in Proverbs about that. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him properly. Proverbs 13:24. And then the other one that we like to tell our kids, it says Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with the rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. So we tell our kids all the time, you know, God says we can beat you. We don't beat our children, okay? We don't beat our children. It's going to get out. The sharks beat their children. But it is an important part of discipline about what we're doing. And it's a command from God. And we need to do it the right way. We need to have discipline in our families. At the same time, can't go overboard on that. So we'll be talking about all that all together. First thing on discipline, as a husband and wife couple, you need to be on the same page. You cannot be not on the same page. They will definitely, you know, pick the two of you apart and throw you to the wolves. Yes, you are. Yeah, the kids will do that. They know when you guys are not on either front. So they know who to go to when they're in trouble. I'm going to go to mom. She doesn't spank me as hard. Or doesn't spank me at all. Or dad doesn't do it at all. So, yeah, let dad find out. I don't care. Dad doesn't, you know, do anything. Dad just plays around all day long. So, I mean, you need to be on either front. So united that you've gone, okay, lying is worth this many spankings or whatever you guys come up with. That's how united you have to be. Is you have to come up with, what are we going to spank for if you're going to spank? What are we going to do for other things? So that is definitely some things you need to come up with.
One of the things, our kids, even though they know that we are completely together on every aspect of discipline and every decision we make, they will come to me, even if he's standing in the room, they'll come to me really quietly and say, Mom, can I go over to somebody's house? And I say, why are you whispering that to me? Why are you asking me? Because dad's right there. Because you'd probably say yes, and he probably won't say yes. And, well, if he says no, the answer is going to be no. Even if I tell you something, if they come and ask me a question, I say the answer is yes, I'm going to check with him. And if he says no, the answer is no. So they know they can't play us against each other. And they even still try, even though they know that that's just not ever going to happen. So. sin nature, probably. Also, moms, don't wait till dad comes home to do the discipline. Or don't threaten to wait until dad comes home to do the discipline. Don't make him the heavy, because it's just not, it's not fair for him to do that. And not only that, but you just set it up for the kids to play you against your husband.
If it's that bad, you're going to just beat your children to death or whatever. You're going to go crazy. Lucky enough, I have a job where my wife can call me at any given time. There's certain times where she has called me and I said, okay, put him on the speakerphone or put him on the phone. And I will reinforce what she's just said to him. I'd rather have that than come home and said, you know, give the list of what happened. I'm like, oh, great, I'm the police officer, and now I get to come in. Or it's like, yeah, I'm home. Oh, no. And then, you know, most guys will say, forget that. I'd rather take the long way home or stay at work longer. So I'd rather just, you know, have the phone call and take care of it and be over with. Another thing for you guys, this is very important. You're going to have to sometimes stand up between your kids and your wife and protect your wife, not physically, but emotionally and stuff. I've had this talk with all my kids. I sit them down and said, okay, you are now being rude to my wife. I don't say their mother, my wife. And I tell them, God has put this relationship first, and you're addition to. My first job is to protect her, take care of her. So if that means you're the trouble, I will take care of it. And so it becomes this. So they understand the roles of the relationship. That's part of us, what we need to do. We need to teach them those roles. So they need to see it. Men, if you have boys, you will have to probably physically get in the way of them at some time because of attitude. They won't hit their mom, but they'll bow up. I've seen my boys do it. Nothing faster than me between that boy. I said, you want to bow up to your mom? You don't ever do that to your mom. That's how much
that
respect.
That scores really big points with me, by the way.
So, guys, I mean, even with the little kids, you're going to have to sit them down and go, this is my wife, and I'm going to take care of her. You need to listen. So, I mean, to dads, that's part of my passion about being a parent. If you don't know, that's part of our passion is being, we want you guys to be great parents, not because we are, but just because it's an awesome thing that we think God's created, being a parent. We'll do the 3 Ds.
Okay. 3 Ds. These are important. Discipline, deliberate disobedience. That's what we discipline for. There's a difference between discipline and training, and we'll go into training later on. But we discipline for deliberate disobedience. What is that? That means something they know they're not supposed to do, they do anyways, or something they know they're supposed to do, they don't do. So if you can ask yourself that question, that's what we discipline for, is deliberate disobedience.
What does that look like?
Okay, some examples. If they run away from you in a parking lot, that's a safety issue right there, but that's also deliberate disobedience. They know they're not supposed to do that. Stealing, lying, cheating, hitting their brothers and sisters when they're littler. It's you know, not cleaning up their toys, right? Or throwing the toys. Most of the time I can see it in their face when they're little, when they're under two, I can see this needs to have a spanking. I hate that time when all of a sudden they draw the line and go, oh man, I'm going to have to spank him now. You know, because it comes to that point, just that certain point when it's, you know, you have to do it. So those are some of the things they do specifically.
So how many years of experience did Trina and I have of parenting?
23.
Oh, she was first. What kind of candy do you want? Dark. I got to keep you guys awake. Got to keep you awake. How we discipline. The nuts and bolts of how we discipline. So don't write this down. It's private. We don't do it in front of the other children. Or unless it's a mass discipline. In our family, that happens. I mean, if three of them decide to do it together, I will do them all three at the same time. Because trying to do one at a time would just probably take all day long. Not really, but I mean, our kids are really well behaved. So, but I try to separate the ones who did the wrong from the other ones. Most of the time it's in the bathroom. We have them take the position, meaning they grab the bathtub. And people say, why you do that? It's two reasons. They have to submit now. They have to break their will down and do something. Two, it's safety. It's a safety issue because your kids will naturally want to block. That, I mean, a little slap on the hand. They'll probably learn not to ever do that. But Kelly can tell you all the rules of how you can spank legally and not. I had to put him on the spot. I just had to do it. But the thing is, if you're too angry to Google spanking, that's the only time I say don't do it. Don't do it out of anger. So if you have to count to 10, if you have to do whatever, do that. That's why I think spanking should be in some other part, because that means you have to walk there. And maybe that gives you the time to relax. When your kids get older, I have a great thing I have my kids do when I'm too angry. I make them put their hands out. So everyone put their hands out right now. Straight out, just like Trina is. She's showing a great example. That's how I have them sit there. And if I let you go for probably a couple of minutes, you guys would probably start crying because of the pain. You can put your hands down. So that's what I tell them to do. And when they start crying and say, does it hurt? I go, that's how my heart feels right now. That's how my heart feels. And I am so angry that I cannot spank you because it would be sinning against you and God. That's pretty effective. My kids are pretty strong now in the upper body, so if you want to challenge them, don't. They get really strong in that.
Now they have to hold their arms out for a little while and then do some push-ups and then hold their arms out again and then do some push-ups.
It's also a way to get your kids' attention really quick. Later when we talk about training, we do training sessions. A lot of times we start with that, not to do the arms hurt, just to get all their attention. So we'll go into that again.
One of the things about discipline is pretend like you're the police officer issuing a citation. If you get pulled over and he gives you a speeding ticket, he doesn't berate you and tell you how naughty you are. He just gives you the ticket and says, have a nice day. Yeah. I guess it depends on the offense, probably, or the officer. But that's what you want to have in your mind when you're giving discipline, because there's going to be talking about it.
Have it the right way.
You have to talk about it. Do you want to go through what you do exactly in a discipline?
We're going to be running out of time really fast. Okay. We're having too much fun. Really quickly, I take them in, or she'll take them into the bathroom. We ask them why they're here, and they'll tell us because I lied, because whatever. Give them the spankings for how much we've said that is, and then we say that we forgive you. A lot of times I don't even ask them to be sorry. I just forgive them because God just does that to us. He just forgives us. I want to hear the sorry, but I want to know that it's forgiven. And as soon as we walk the door, it's gone. I might bring up, did the spanking feel good? Not, oh, you remember when you did this and I did that? I don't do that. It's, did that spanking feel good? If they start to show the same behavior, light clicks on. I don't bring, you remember when you lied to me? Now, I might in the bathroom say, you know what? Our trust has been broken with that lie, and we need to work on that. You need to work on that to bring that trust back up. Walk out of the bathroom. It's done. No more. And that's how it should be. It should be just out the door, gone. God puts our sins between his shoulder blades. And it's really hard to touch your shoulder blades. It's amazing. He doesn't forget it, but he just puts it away so he doesn't think about it anymore. It's hard for a parent, hard as people to do that. But that's some of the things we need to do. Private and public discipline, there is a little difference. I mean, you're in the middle of the store and your child's doing something. I mean, you just, okay, we're done. Let's go home. It might take that. It might take that. But we also called a teensy fly, a little pinch. The kids know that that's also a spanking in our house. And we can just go up and kind of give them that little pinch or take them to a dressing room, kind of give them that pinch and say, okay, that's it. Trina's uncle had a great idea called spanking's ice cream. I don't want ice cream. I mean, any kid scoring out the store, you won't get in trouble for that. Yeah, I got ice cream. I don't want ice cream. So we didn't do that. So, but I mean, you can take that. Mercy. Yes, we do play the mercy card, meaning you deserve a spanking, but I'm not going to give it to you, especially when your kids start getting older. Youngest three, I use that mercy card. They don't understand it completely, but I want them to start understanding. And it's totally related to God's mercy to us. Anytime I use it, they're going to get that little lecture. And it's a recorded lecture in my head that I've, I show them. because I want them to see the mercy that God gives us. And so as a parent, I play that mercy card.
I have a story about that. It just happened yesterday. Hannah, who's 11, was having kind of a bad attitude about the chores that she was supposed to do that day. And not just a big bad attitude about it. And so we had some issues and talked through some things, and she was invited to go to her friend's house to spend the night with sisters and brothers. And I told her that I can't see how I'm going to let you be able to go to that. But I didn't make the final judgment then. And so a little bit later on, it came time for me to make the judgment on that. And she's looking at me hoping with all hope that she's going to be able to go. And I looked at her and I said, you know what? I'm going to have mercy on you and I'm going to let you go. You don't deserve it because you didn't act right today. She wasn't nice to her brothers and sisters. She did some other things. But I'm going to have mercy on you just like God has on us. And she cried. And she's old enough, 11. She's old enough to understand that. She really didn't deserve to go. So it's effective.
So that's how that works, that part of it. Other kind of creative discipline might be you have to come up with something. I mean, be creative about discipline. When we have kids that are fighting each other, we have them clean windows in our house, one on one side, one on the other side. And so you're looking at each other, and the first couple of windows are just funny because they're... For you out there, I'm sticking my tongue out. I was supposed to say 3D, and I'm like, this is weird. So there's other things like that. I mean, come be creative. Great thing is work that's not necessary needs to be done, or it's not...
Work that doesn't achieve anything. We move a log pile from one side of the yard to the other and then back again. Yeah. It's busy work.
It's busy work that's physical. For those, I mean, we live on 2.5 acres, so we have, this isn't a lot of people, I don't have 2.5 acres. You can have a yard, or a small yard. Go to Home Depot, buy some rocks, write on it peace, love, joy, the fruits of the Spirit. Make them move one to another and say it out loud. Because the only busy work they're doing is moving hard rocks, but they're pitting the words into their head. Pit Bible verses on there. Short Bible verses. So, I mean, there's creative ways to do it. We had a person that their kid liked to get up early in the morning and go watch TV, and they wanted to do that. And they're like, what should we do? And I'm like, my first thing is I put the TV on loud. So when they woke up, it scared them and make them run to bed. If that didn't work, I would get up before that child, go out to the living room, hide, and when they came, rah! I mean, be creative. Have fun with this. I mean, it's you're the parent. Have fun with this. So that's that part. Now, we kind of briefly talked about that. You can ask us questions about it and stuff. So we're going to go in training now, and because we found that if we train our children, we get to discipline them less. So we're going to talk about training. We feel like it's a very important thing.
Question.
Yeah. Okay. No. My 17-year-old will still get spanked if he does something.
They don't necessarily need it. We haven't spanked him for years.
Yeah.
But they the know. Threat of it is always a possibility. Most of the time when they get to that age, it's more the physical things that we make them do, like the moving the logs or whatever, that's way more effective. It wouldn't be as effective for him to spank him.
And then I have to be a big ol' switch. So, yeah.
I'm just curious. I was raised with like a spanking is, it doesn't matter what you do, a spanking is a spanking. When they feel like stopping, they'll stop. My husband is like, okay, that's a spanking, that's one spank.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you guys do like you were saying, lying? Is that like three spankings? Is this?
Lying in our house is a 10 spank offense. Because it's serious. Lying is it can be the root of so many other problems. I was
Hitting
a really
your brother
good liar.
And sister won't get you a spanking or lying will. Because, I mean,
yeah.
And the kids know that. So part of maybe your mercy is you're not giving them 10, you're giving them 3. And of course, the first spank is always harder than the 10th. Don't get us wrong, it's not. We're not beating our kids. But I mean, lying is such a serious offense because we just see it as the root of just going down that slippery. I mean, if they lie and they can get away with it, watch out. Your children are going to go far.
And I have to say, our children really don't lie. And in fact, at school, they had an incident where the teacher thought that we homeschool, but they go to school once or twice a week. There was an incident where the teacher thought that one of my children was lying, and I brought her home and I asked her what happened that day. I didn't even tell her that the teacher had called, and she told me everything, things that I didn't even need to know, and things that were going to get her in more trouble than what the thing is that the teacher thought she lied about. So I went back to the teacher and I said, typically you're going to find out that my children don't lie. So if you think they're lying, it's a miscommunication. So think about it that way, and just know that they're not going to lie. And the reason that they don't lie is because at home it's a very serious thing. We treat it very seriously.
Go ahead. You know what? We don't have to. I mean,
I was raised in a family where, if I seriously lied, I got the belt compared to a regular spanking. But my husband was raised in a family where he was beaten,
right?
Physically abused. So he is not comfortable with the spanking where I am. So I'm being on the same page. How do you decide? Yes, this is the way we're going to discipline using physical, because personally, that worked for me.
Right.
But for him, that brings him back to a different place where...
And there's a lot of that. I need to repeat the question. Basically, the question was... Will you repeat the question? It's about spanking, because we're taped. This is the whole reason. People who have been abused by spankings and people who have not, how do they come together, especially with their husband and wife? It's talking it out. You're in a lucky position. You don't have kids yet. So it's a good thing to start talking about it and getting to the point. Now, that's why I'm saying set some guide rules to it. Okay, we'll only spank, in the bathroom or in the bedroom, and this is how we're going to spank. I think that will put some things easy to them. Two is the word of God. I mean, I was kind of joking about being your child with, and he will not die. I mean,
that's a real verse. So.
If we spank the right way, it does. And that's why I said after we spank our children, we take the time to reconnect with them, to say that we love them, to say that I forgive you. Like I said, I say I forgive you before they say they're sorry. Because I want to let them know that that bond is together. Maybe trust and stuff needs to be built up, but there's that bond. And it's very hard. I mean, you have to come and decide. And some things, like I said, hitting your sister or brother in our house is you're probably going to get in more trouble. But lying is worse for us. Because we've just seen, we youth group leaders, our own lives and stuff, we've just seen lying as just, I mean, if you can lie to your parents, you can get away with a lot of stuff. So
I mentally played. I was raised by a single mom, so if she didn't go to the physical level, I played with her mentally.
Right.
Because I could, and I could get away with it, so I didn't. If it wasn't, taken to the next level where it's, he was in a different position.
Yeah. And it's...
telling the truth, and
right.
The parent would be misunderstanding, and he would get physical consequences
And that's the key, is that you need to communicate with your husband. You need to sit down and have the hard conversation. Keep it consistent. We've got a great book called To Train Up a Child, and it really just lays it out there. This is what it is, and it's all about being the police officer and issuing the consequences for their behavior, and then being able to step back into the mom role and say, I love you, and this doesn't make me love you any less, and it's over, and let's move on and not do that again.
What time are we done?
11:15, I think, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. It does get changed. There's certain things that don't. Lying is one of those things that don't get changed. There's other things, because I have kids that I can look at and I can make them cry. And they're sorry. I'm sorry. They mean it. It's not like they're trying to get out of it. And I have other kids, they're just like, that didn't hurt. I mean, that's the look they give me. Bailey, for all you out there, she'll do that. She'll just look at you like, that was nothing. So I have to treat that her differently. So, but there's certain things that we committed.
For one of ours, because that's the only thing he loves in the whole world is food, and he will not perform at school. So if he has a bad day at school, then he gets a bad meal, which is like a piece of bread and peanut butter.
Right. We call that currency. Every child has a currency. Some currency might be being by themselves. I was an only child. Being by myself? Yeah, pit me on a timeout, Mom. I can play all I want. I'm an only child. Woo-hoo. Go to your room and be quiet. Okay? Our kids, that might be, you know, the death of them. Have to be there by themselves and do nothing and no TV, no nothing. But a lot of times, you know, punishment, part of psychology, they say punishment works great if it's quick, painful, and done. Timeouts are not quick, they're not painful, and most of the time the kid gets out before it's actually done. I mean, they get a good priority and they send them out early. I mean, how many criminals we get out early because they're good in jail? So, I mean, we don't use timeouts that much because then we have to become more of the warden, you know? Are you?
And I can't keep track of six people on a timeout, really. It's just not, it doesn't work for us.
So we're kind of more precise in that way. Training. We found, everyone has had a job, right? Everyone had a job at one time in their life? Okay, everyone raise your hands because you're falling asleep, I can tell. Okay, so you want some candy? Here, have some candy for just... The guys know. Just give the sign. He'll give me candy. You didn't give the sign. You're supposed to... John, come on. Give the sign. Oh, darn.
Yeah.
It's part of the training. Salivates up. So, on the job, everyone's had a job. You've hopefully been trained on it. If you haven't, you probably hated the job or it sucked. I mean, no one liked it. So, you're at home and you don't train your kids. So, what are they supposed to do? They just suck. Okay? We laugh. We were at the store the other day and this dad's got his son and he goes, "You take him." She goes, "Why?" He goes, "He's a brat." I'm like, you're the dad. Why aren't you doing something about it? You know, if your kid's a brat, look at yourself. I mean, that's where it starts. Parenting starts with you. And so a lot of times you're going to have to change you first before changing your child. So if you have a problem with anger, you might want to change yourself because your kid's never going to learn how to get away with, you know, not to go through it. So it's on-job training. You're training them how you want them to act in certain situations. So it can go everywhere. Most of the time it's positive in our family. We try to keep it uplifting and positive, not, you know, dredging. It's pretty swift when we do it. It's quick and fast. Why? We enjoy our children so much more. I mean, we love it because they want to please us. And so it's fun. We just have a great relationship. They want to be with us. We want to please, you know, they want to please us. And why is? Because we took training. Key. What's the key?
Okay, the key to training, you can write this down on the top of your training thing. Write a big W right next to that, an I. And then right next to that, write an N. And then under that, write win. And then under that, write win. Over and over and over again. That is the key to training, is that you have to always win the situation that you're in with your child or be perceived to have won. So you could say, oh, I hear the phone ringing. I got to go, you know, if you need to get out of the situation. But if they're confronting you in a training situation, you absolutely have to stick it out until you win. Well, typically our training sessions are that we have the kids come, we say line up, and they all come in and they have a place where they line up, like the Van Trapp family or whatever. But we don't have individual whistles for them. It's just one whistle that calls everybody. And we tell them, put their arms out, stand up, sit down, turn around, whatever. Most of the time it's for the littler ones. They're being trained, and the bigger ones are kind of being trained on attitude, so they can't roll their eyes at us. And they just come, and it's usually really fun. Every time somebody turns two, or right around the two-year-old age, they're going to stand up to him. Okay, it's a little teeny person who weighs about 20 pounds. And, you know, 6'4", 2", whatever. and they think they can take him on. So it's this little teeny tiny person who refuses to sit down. All you have to do is sit down. And he's not yelling, and he's being very gentle about it. Mariah, sit down. And she just stands there like she has no idea that he's even talking to her. And, you know, Mariah, you need to sit down. He'll give her lots of chances. So finally, it becomes dismiss everybody else, go play. And Dad sits down in front of Mariah and says, sit down, whack with the switch on the back of her leg. And she'll cry. And she won't sit down. Mariah, sit down, please. Sit down, whack. She won't sit down. And I eventually have to leave too because she's looking at me crying. No, all you have to do is sit down. He'll take her and gently sit her down. No, it's not even, most of the time it doesn't make them cry. It's just to get their attention. God gave us pain receptors on purpose. So we learn when something's hot. So babies don't stick their fingers in their eye because it hurts. They learn that. Okay, that's what a training switch is. It's just a really light sting that gets their attention. So Mariah, it probably took an hour. And he would gently set her down so she knew what sitting was, just in case at 2 she forgot what that was, and then stand her up and
Am
say,
I talking
now,
English, not German, right?
Yeah, and he was speaking out loud, and he was speaking English, so I'm pretty sure she got it. But he had to do that for about an hour. I finally had to leave the room because she was crying. But it always happens. Doesn't matter how.
Wishing for the phone to ring.
Yeah. So he had to win that. It had to be. And we, fortunately, we'd set aside the time when we do training. We don't have any other distractions. That's what we're doing that night. So we had set aside the time, and it was going to be he won. But it was a one-time thing. She didn't come up against him again. Well, for a while. You know, they always tend
and
to go
right
back
after
at
that,
it again.
I took time just to have fun with her because I wanted that. I know that was hard for her. I mean, think about it. When God says, I want you to do his will, and we don't, and he goes, no, I want you to do my will, and you don't, and he'll sit there patiently and say, no, you're going to do my will. And that's what we're training our children. We're training them, and God's given this relationship, and we need to train our children so when they become adults, that relationship with God is there. That's why we do this. We try to look into the future. So their will being broken down to you is very important. Because if they don't do it to you, how are they going to do it to God? Now, I wish I had a faith like a good child, because they have great faith. But their will is theirs. That's the one thing they have that no one tells them to give up in this society. You can do whatever you want, basically, they're saying. Then they get over and they wonder why they have parents go, why is my child having problem following God? Because the will, me, I'm selfish. I know I'm selfish. So it's that will right there. That's another reason why we train for that. Training sessions can be for anything. We train our kids to get in and out of the van. May I have 10 kids trying to do all what they want to do in a van. You know, touching the radio, doing this, doing that. This is how we want it. We tell them how we want it. You buckle in, blah, 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 blah. This is your seat. Let's do it. Okay, that was good. Let's go out. Let's go back and do it. You know? And shoot, maybe when they do it, you have ice cream or something. Make it fun, but do it. So guess what? Every time we get in the van, my 10 kids beat some people with 2 kids. And we're like waiting for them. I mean, that's the only time we'll make comments about other people. So don't worry. We don't talk about it either. They are so slow. No, we don't do that.
Goal to get in faster than anybody else.
It's our goal, but believe me, we do not try to. We don't look at other people and go, they should be doing this. We don't, because we know that big old log in our eyes, too. Baseball games. I mean, I used to be an athletic trainer, and they would come to my games. So one child probably would have to be in a stroller, given our range of children. She wouldn't just go to the game and go, by the way, you're sitting here for 2.5 hours. She would start at home. Maybe 20 minutes at first. Maybe while she's cooking dinner, they're in the stroller. Maybe you have to go on long rides and the child hates to be in their car seat. Bring the car seat in and train them. Why make it hard? This is easy stuff. Just think ahead. That's the problem, is we don't think ahead. You know? Yes, you want to support whoever, playing basketball, baseball, football, but your kids are going to be out everywhere. And if you want them to be in the stroller, train them. Give them the snacks that you would at the game. Give them the toys that you would at the game. Just don't let them out. She would do that. Not once did the kid go, oh, let out. Because they knew they weren't getting out. Maybe if they did, it was simple. You're not getting out. It's simple.
No. It's 2 words. It's really easy to say. No.
So, I mean, that's what you're doing. Now, later on with your kids, when the training, like she said, it's more attitude. We've had boys take out the same garbage 5 times, 6 times. Maybe the only thing they did was roll their eyes. Guess what? You're doing it again. Rolling up hoses. Simple job. All you have to do is this. It's not that hard. You have a friend over. This has happened. Trina's out there. I got a book. I got all the time in the world. It's up to you. For attitude. Once again, God doesn't want us to say, yes, okay, God, I'm going to do it. We go do it. He doesn't want that. And so why would we train our children to do that for him? Or even for us? So one of my pet peeves is when I go to people's houses and their dog is better trained than their kids. That is my pet peeve. I'm like, your kid is so much smarter than your dog. Well, I don't want to treat my kid like an animal. Well, you're not. You're training him. If you go to work, your boss trains you, and you do a better job, you get more money. So you're going to train your kids not to do well. Okay. My little pet peeve right there. Yeah.
As far as your older children especially, well, younger too, if and when they have friends over, you know, you have a policy that you're disciplining in private, is that applied to when friends are over? Do you wait till after? Do you pull them aside, or you just...
Well, lucky enough, our house is large enough that we can actually go so far that I could do it.
Yeah.
Most people don't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. Bye, friend.
To be honest with you, that rarely has happened. The one time that he's talking about when he did the hose thing, it was a friend from down the street that practically lives at our house anyways. But, and I knew that I was going to, we knew we were having issues with him and his attitude, so I knew I was going to have to deal with that. And I just saw the perfect, I had been out doing gardening. I left the hose unrolled. I mean, really, it's simple, roll it up, no big deal, it takes you 2 seconds. And I asked him to go do it, and he rolled his eyes and, you know, and he went out and did it anyways, but I needed to train that out of him. I can't have that. And so when he came back in, I told his friend to stand here and wait with me. And I said, actually said, watch this. And I said, Trevor, you need to go unroll the hose. And he looked at me again with the same, what? I have other things to do. I'm playing. He was like 11 or 12, but he went out and did it again, and then he came back. He just unrolled the hose. He came back in, and I said, now go roll it up. Don't roll your eyes at me, and don't slam the door on your way out. And he did it probably 3 or 4 times before he could do it with the right attitude. And that's when I said, I've got a book. I'm sitting on the couch. I got all day. We could do this 25 times if it needs to be done. So that's a rare occasion. They typically, when they have friends over, are really good. No, from the time that they can walk, we train them to come when they're called. So if we're at our house right now and I said, Hannah, she would be by my side in a heartbeat. No response. Sometimes they'll say, coming, Mom. Occasionally they'll say, I'm in the bathroom or I'm not dressed or something like that. They'll tell me that. But we start that when they're 2, when they can walk. We start training. Again, we set aside a time. We take them in their room, get them involved in a toy, and then we call them out. And they don't come the first time, so we go and get them, and we say, when we call you, and this is all nice, it's not, they don't typically have to be spanked for it or switched for it. So we call them and they come. We say, you come to me, and then you give them a big hug when they get to you, and then you take them back to their room, get them involved in the toy again. Fortunately, they don't have a very long memory when they're 2. And so you can, and you call them out, and eventually they get to it. They understand it. And so now, as older kids, all I have to do is call their name. I don't even have to say, come here. I just call their name, and they show up.
She was talking that whistle. I have a whistle. And it's not I want the Von Trapp family, whatever, is we have a large family. We go to a park. They're everywhere. I can do a whistle. Matter of fact, he was with us one time. We were at the park. And I know. Not yet. Pamela actually came up. That's Pamela. Right there. Asked for a hot dog. We didn't have the hot dogs then. We said, fine, we'll tell you when they're done. Well, it got done. We couldn't see her. Kelly goes, what are we going to do? I said, watch. I just whistled. 5 kids come running. Go, what do you want, Dad? I said, I need you to find Pamela. We got our hot dogs ready. Okay, Dad. Boom. I mean, and Kelly's like, what happened? What just happened? You just whistled. Kids came up happy. And I asked them to do something. They said, sure. Boom. Pamela came and got her hot dog. I mean, that's what we mean by whistling and stuff. Another funny story about it's training and discipline. I came home one evening, and it was probably about 2 months after Max was born.
Yeah, a week.
A week or two? Okay, a couple weeks. And I get home, and I go, hey, where's Mom? She goes, out back. Okay, so I walk around the corner. All I can see is Trina sitting in a chair with an iced teacup. I'm going, this is not a good sign.
In the middle of the field.
In the middle of the field. An acre and a half of field. In the middle of it. And I can't see anyone else. And I'm like, oh, she's lost it. 10 kids, finally lost it. I went a little deeper, and there's Hudson pulling a roller. The roller, we have, since we have dirt and we plowed and stuff, you have to roll to get gardens again. And it weighs about 75 pounds. He was 8. He's pulling this about 25 yards and then pulling it again. I went, ooh, someone's in trouble. So what happened, she was gone at our appointment and got a phone call that he was being angry again and stuff. And so unfortunately for him, she had 20 minutes of how am I going to deal with this? So she went in and actually looked up verses. There's a book. It's
Proverbs for Parenting.
So it breaks down topically about Proverbs. She just got all the anger verses, wrote them down, took him out there, let him roll. And he was screaming, I hate you.
And you don't love me. You hate me. You can't make me do this.
And she just kept doing it until he would not. He didn't say a word. His will was broken. Not his spirit. His will was broken. I'll get right to it. I got to finish the story. It's a really good story. It brought him in and then did the verses. They memorized one of the verses together. For the longest time.
Fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. So I can ask him to this day, are you being a fool or are you being a wise man?
So, I mean, definitely use the scripture in your discipline stuff. There's two questions over here, Kelly.
First, congratulations for being the worst mother and father in the world.
Yes!
We've won that award several times also. Yeah. Going back to the calling, we lead as parents. We're supposed to lead by example.
Right.
I mean, you raise who you are. And Trina, when you call the kids, or Dan, when you call the kids, they come immediately. Now, there are times the kids want you, but you might be in the middle of something, and you will tell them, hey, I'll be there in 5 minutes, or I'll be right there. Now, that example that you're showing them is exactly what they're going to do. But because there's a difference between parenting and child, how do you handle it when they bring that up to you? Like, well, Daddy, you don't come when I ask you. You're on the computer or in the garage doing something for 5 minutes.
Right.
How do you...
There's two ways to do...
Cross that hypocritical bridge.
That can be a hard question, especially if you have a child that asks that. Some children are great, and they just go, okay, that's what we love. But when they don't, when they go, well, you don't do what I, you know, when I ask, you know, you don't come when, you know, I call you, and that's when you have to show the role of the dad and the parent. And it's an ongoing thing. Two, bring them in the garage. Daddy can't go right now. But why don't you come help Daddy? And as soon as Dad's done, we'll go do that. So you're doing that. There's that time. I mean, our kids come up to us. And they'll just do this while we're talking to someone else. I know that they want my attention. I need to stop the conversation and not be totally rude about it. And go, excuse me, I need to talk to my son. Talk to my son. Boom. Probably the most important thing, you tell your kids, hey, we're going to be leaving in 5 minutes. Leave in 5 minutes. Don't hang around because you got, okay, we're going to leave. They get all set. They get all ready to go. And 10 minutes go by, they're out again. And then what happens, you get mad because they're not ready to go, but you didn't leave when you said you were going to leave. That's even bigger, I think, is follow through. If they see you following through, they'll do it. If you say, Dad, I mean, practicing this whole thing, we said, okay, guys, we need to be in our room to actually practice this, not anything else. Come on, that was funny. We weren't playing Wii either. And we're practicing, and we told the kids we needed about an hour. When the hour's up, we weren't done. We shut it down. We went out. Because we said we'd be done. And so that's really important. If it says 5 minutes, be 5 minutes. If it's, I don't know, why don't you help me? And so that reminds Dad to do what you want next. Because, I mean, I've done that. You get going, and then... Oh, I need to do that. I need to fix that. So you just go fix it. You don't mean you didn't purposely forget. You just honestly forgot. So I'll say, hey, why don't you help me do this so we can get done faster so I can go do what you want to do. So I try to do that. We need to be done. Oh, darn.
10 minutes over.
Some things that we talked about that we want to, I mean, as goals of parents, I mean, three main goals I think everyone in this room wants to have is to have your child accept Jesus Christ. I mean, that's probably our number one goal. Second one, to become godly men and women for him. And then the third is to make a difference for his kingdom. This is the reason why you discipline. This is the reason why you train. Now, our next session is something to tie it, because as we're taught, I mean, if you just know the word and just preach the word and stuff without love, you're just going to be like the Pharisees. You know, it's going to be, just lost the word.
Hypocritical.
You know, judgmental on that. So the other, the training, making ties with your children is very important. So we don't want to leave you an encouragement. We want to give you something to do. Look at one stone at a time. I mean, you're looking at your children going, oh, great, I have this big pile of stones. I need to work on it. Take one at a time. Just take one. You know, go home, write down that one thing that you need to work on most with your child. You don't have to do that right now. Yay! So you don't have to do that. Our kids are in a messy room. They don't know what to clean. So Trina has got this rake. She rakes everything in the middle of the room and says, okay, get all the books out first. And they get all the books out of the pile and put them away. Put all the stuffed toys away. Go put it all. I mean, that's what we need to do also. But as our children, that's a great example. They go into a room, they're just like, so take one.
So your assignment is to rake all your stuff into the middle of the room and identify choose the most identifiable problem, the books. We say, go put the books on the bookshelf. It's doable then. If they look at their whole room, they just get overwhelmed and can't do anything. So the first thing you have to do is look at the one thing that's just the blaring thing that's driving you nuts right now and choose to work on that. We were going to troubleshoot to help you figure out something to do for that issue and come back in session two and we'll work on it like that.
Are you going to ask those questions anytime, any given Sunday? I mean, like we said, we probably don't know everything. We just happen to be down the road a bit farther than most of all of you guys. So we're very open. I mean, come ask us questions anytime. I mean, we don't have any problem with that. I mean, we see that there's such a connection between us and God and us and our children. I mean, I think all of us who are parents have said something to our kids and go, okay, God. Because we're saying, you know, I want first-time obedience. I want first-time obedience. Okay, God. You want first-time obedience from us, too. So, I mean, kids are a great reflection on that, you know. And so what we know is when we discipline, that's God. But if we train, our kids love it. I mean, and kind of a side note, I had a son. And I used to make everyone wiggle. Because if you wiggle, you can't be mad or sad. Or you can't be upset. At 15-year-old, he comes to me afterwards. He wiggled. Comes over and goes, Dad, don't make me wiggle. I'm 15. I'm 15 years old. And I went, you're right. And people were like, I was like, this is awesome. Because he did what I asked him to do when I asked him to do it. It came in private. And I told him, he said, that really bugs me. When he gets a job and his boss does something, like we were talking earlier, he's going to be the guy who goes up and says, in private, I don't like that. That hurts me, whatever. I was like, that's awesome. We're teaching our kids to do that. Right? I didn't even know we were doing that. So, I mean, that's the things you want to do. I mean, have fun with it. Be creative with your discipline. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff to do. So, thank you for listening.